Hello and welcome to another episode of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me tonight, OTG's Jesse Corwin. What's up, Jesse?
Nick Fay, good to be with you, man. How we doing?
I'm doing well. Just got back from vacation, back to the grind. Took a little hiatus from the podcast, but it's good to be back and a lot to talk about tonight.
Yeah, no kidding. We thought the summer was just cooling down, and it's hot and humid once again.
Yes, it is. Actually, yesterday on my flight home, I found out about this Kyrie Irving news. You know, if you guys haven't heard, I don't know how you haven't heard, but Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from Cleveland. Crazy stuff. The Cavs have been in three straight finals. I want to get your initial thoughts on this when you saw that Kyrie requested a trade.
Yeah, so I was having one of those like late night pee break kind of things, and woke up, checked my Twitter real quick, you know, see what's going on, and I saw it, and then kind of went back to sleep, and I woke up, and it was like, did that happen or did that not happen? So I had to kind of check everything else, see what was going on, and in fact, it appears that Kyrie is asking out of Cleveland. Surely a curveball none of us saw coming. So now, you know, obviously the big question. It seems like it, you know, it's in the Cavs' best interest. Clearly, they got new GM Kobe Altman coming in and a ton of turmoil already going on there. And of course, the future of LeBron was the big talk, but now the future concerns are immediate. So it seems like he could potentially get shipped out.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting stuff. You know, a team that's been in three straight finals, and Kyrie's obviously been the second best player playing in LeBron's shadow, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, LeBron's like an instant trip to the finals. So it's definitely something intriguing to see, but I guess the word is that he kind of wants a bigger role. He wants to be the focal point of an offense of a team. He doesn't want to be in LeBron's shadow. There's been some talk. I know I listened to an ESPN podcast. You know, he has a lot of ties to Kobe Bryant, and they think that influence is there, that he kind of wants to be his own team, kind of similar to that Kobe and Shaq stuff. So I was just, you know, kind of shocked that this happened. I mean, there's rumblings. There's always been rumblings that Kyrie might not be happy. But, you know, to want to leave a team that's been to the finals three straight times is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think the biggest irony or Kyrie, I guess, in this spot, can we trademark that? The biggest Kyrie here is I think maybe LeBron taught him how to do this, right? He taught how a player can kind of leverage his way to what he wants. So he learned this from big brother LeBron. You know, LeBron, I think Kyrie's now like second in the world in like sneaker sales. He's got the huge, huge stuff going on in Asia. He's become a huge brand name off the court. You talked about the on-the-court success, of course, you know, James carrying basically the team. And, you know, you don't want to undersell Kyrie's contributions, but without LeBron, you know, they obviously aren't successful. But on and off the court, LeBron has been huge in getting Kyrie the respect and the pay that he's come to see.
Yeah, and you mentioned the off-the-court stuff. You know, Kyrie is like a fan favorite. You know, the kids love him because of his dribbling, you know, his fancy play, coming up big in the finals, hitting those clutch shots. So the star power is definitely there, which kind of makes it a nice move for the Cavs. They're able to move him because I think it'll be easier for them to get fair value for Kyrie than if they were to move somebody else just because he's so young. You know, he's a great player. I think he was one of two players last year to average over 25 points, 5 assists, shoot over 45% from the field and over 40% from three. And the other guy to do that was Steph Curry. So Kyrie's definitely an elite offensive player in this league. It's just, you know, how much will he do without LeBron?
Oh, no doubt. And he's one of the guys that, you know, when playoff time comes, you know he's going to be there, right? You know he's coming up big. We saw him in the Celtics series last year, light him up in one of those games, went down with a sprained ankle. And I was like, oh, man, the Celtics could actually – he just went down. He sat out for maybe a minute or two, hobbled off the court back in, continued to light the show up. And so, I mean, he's a tough guy. He's a winner. In a different system, how much better, you know, he's one of those score first point guards, you know, so how much better does he really make a team without star players around him? And, you know, we might find out.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's what the intriguing thing is with Kyrie. Obviously we saw him, you know, before LeBron in Cleveland, he was kind of banged up. That team wasn't very good. So it's kind of hard to gauge. Obviously he's improved his game and his numbers have gotten better, but obviously some of that is a LeBron impact. You know, obviously playing like a player with Kevin Love, too. You know, he's not a bad guy to have around either. So that's kind of taking some attention away. It'll be interesting to see what he does if he's the main guy or, you know, if he's in a bigger role in another team.
Well, I mean, he says that's, you know, he basically, you know, that's the narrative right now is he wants to be the guy. And I think if Kyrie's the best player on your team, you're not contending for a title. You know, I have questions about score first point guards being seen, or any point guard for that matter, and really going to huge success. Of course, you can throw in some of those outliers, like, you know, of course, like a Steph Curry, obviously. But, you know, that's a big thing. And I think one of the big factors is the uncertainty of LeBron James, right? So they're building this team around LeBron James. Kyrie is much more of a up and down the court really quickly type of player. LeBron James likes to go down, get the ball at the elbow, pivot around, dribble a bunch, slow down, grind it out basketball. So I feel like maybe one of Kyrie's biggest concerns is the building this team around LeBron. And if he jets out next year, LeBron or Kyrie's kind of left with, you know, a team that was built around LeBron. And then, you know, what do you have for there? So another Kyrie in this, I think, is sorry, I can't help myself. So I think one of the big things there is, you know, would he stay if there was more certainty about what LeBron James was going to do? Who knows?
Yeah, that LeBron situation definitely makes it kind of a difficult thing to gauge, because we don't know if Kyrie knows that LeBron's going to leave. And for him, it kind of would make more sense to leave this year, and it kind of would help the Cavs in a sense to kind of get retooled. But like you said before, the scoring point guard thing, the lack of defense, the lack of playmaking for others, making them better is definitely a question mark. You'd probably have to surround him with somebody who's like, you know, a two guard that kind of facilitates a little bit more, or a point forward, or somebody along those lines. But let's talk destinations. You know, Kyrie mentioned a few. I mean, it was rumored that he mentioned he wanted to go to the Spurs or the Knicks or the Timberwolves or the Heat. Out of those teams, who do you think would be the most likely to land Kyrie?
So I think the thing that's really interesting, so we talk about destinations. He's got 2 years left. He doesn't have a no-trade clause. So the Cavs can be like, okay, you want to get traded? You know, we'll send you to Sacramento. You know, they have that ability at this point. And so the interesting thing is he does have a lot of value because he's got the 2 years rather than 1 year. So, yeah, we talked about, I mean, who's – they wanted to go to the Knicks. I mean, we haven't heard that. We haven't heard that in a long time. And I think the biggest thing about Kyrie is he's more about like a team environment, right, rather than a particular market. So I think that you can tell that by the destinations. You have some big markets and small markets. So, yeah, so we've heard about the Spurs. I think that's probably, you know, his top idea. And you think about what could the Spurs do. We know LaMarcus Aldridge has talked about being a bit unhappy there in the system, and he thinks he's not being used up to his capability. But they did just re-sign Patty Mills, that big four-year deal back to there. But the money would work. LaMarcus, it may be a pick straight up for Kyrie. So that's interesting. The Wolves,
I don't think
would
the Cavs would be interested in LaMarcus, though. I think LaMarcus, you know, having Love and having Tristan Thompson, LaMarcus doesn't really entice them, especially having both guys. Because I think the problem with LaMarcus is you can't really play him at power forward anymore.
Yeah. LaMarcus is one of those guys where, what is he doing? He's very inconsistent. You know, one day he's amazing with the little turnaround in the post. The next day he can't get position inside the elbow. So, I mean, that is a major problem. Yeah, what they would probably have to do is bring LaMarcus in and then, you know, probably ship Kevin Love for some depth in the backcourt. And maybe, you know, because I think the big problem with the Cavs right now, I see them having no chance next season to beat, you know, likely they get out of the East. I don't think that's a done deal as many as most people do. But if they see the Warriors, I just don't think they have the depth, and I don't think it's close. So they would have to, you know, if they brought LaMarcus back, they could then probably trade Kevin Love, get some depth. That's a possibility. We look at the T-Wolves, who have been just, you know, completely refaced their franchise over the season. And that's interesting. Over the offseason, that's interesting because him and Jimmy Butler, they're pretty tight from their USA. And then Karl Anthony Towns, word is they've both been trying to, like, get him to come to Minnesota. And Karl Anthony Towns' dad, he's from northern New Jersey. So is Kyrie Irving's dad. They know each other there. Yeah, your hood. So they, you know, they have some ties there with the basketball scene in northern New Jersey. So I think, you know, as we saw with Gordon Hayward coming to Boston, those relationships can't be underestimated. But again, what do the Wolves have to send back? Maybe Andrew Wiggins. And I think, you know, we might be looking at a lot of times with these big blockbuster deals, probably another team getting involved is more than likely.
Yeah,
no matter what happens.
You and I talked about that a little bit off air. It's highly likely they'll have to involve a third or fourth team just because the Cavs have so many contracts they kind of want to move. they want to retool this roster, like you mentioned, get some depth on this team. If they were happen to move Kyrie, they might be able to come back and, you know, even have a better chance. You know, as good a player Kyrie Irving is, then maybe add some other pieces along the line, you know, not just have that great point guard, have some other great players on that team. And it could help them beat Golden State. You never know. Like you said, I agree with you. I don't think they have a chance against Golden State unless there's an injury this year. I think the Warriors are locked to win it again. I would maybe, I don't know, I'd have to see the final rosters, but I might put Houston even ahead of them to beat Golden State at this point, just because the Cavs haven't really done much to improve from last year, and we saw what happened in the finals.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I just think the depth is a major concern there. So we look at, you know, what are the other teams we heard about? The Knicks, I mean, Carmelo.
Denver's interested, and I think that's an intriguing team because they do have a mixture of young assets to kind of throw out the Cavs or get, like we said, a third or fourth team involved. And it kind of speeds up their thing. You know, they get Kyrie Irving. They have Nikola Jokic. They just brought in Paul Millsap, you know, Gary Harris Jr. They got some good pieces on that team. So that would be an intriguing offer for the Cavs, especially if they want to throw Jamal Murray at you.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about Denver, but I think with their front court and the way they stretch the floor, we know the way Kyrie can get to the hoop. I think that would be a really nice fit as well. So back to the Knicks. You got what? Yeah, I mean, Carmelo. I mean, word is, I think Carmelo wants to get traded. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think Carmelo, maybe Carmelo and some picks, and obviously the money would be close there. So that could be interesting. And you know, if Kyrie and I mean, get what he wants. You know, he'll get the chance to be the man in New York for sure.
That's a lot of pressure too.
And then you have, you know, then you have two legit players all of a sudden for the Knicks. And then going into next year, you know, maybe you can bring a third guy in and all of a sudden you're competing in the East and, you know, from a dumpster fire to a true competitor in a year.
Yes. Yeah. It'd definitely be interesting. I saw someone brought this up. You know, what is it the Knicks are trading for a scoring point guard that doesn't pass again this summer? Like, but, you know, obviously Kyrie would help them a lot. But it's still, you know, a situation that we don't know what's going on in that front office. I think it was reported that Scott Perry hasn't even met James Dolan yet, which is kind of weird. You know, hire your GM, the owner doesn't even meet him. And the Knicks still have some bad contracts on there. But
yeah.
Bring in Star and Kyrie would kind of definitely, you know, pump up the Knicks. But, you know, I don't know how much they could really do, how much of an attractive destination they are until they prove that they're, you know, a well-run team.
Right, right. And I think one of the interesting aspects to that would be, you know, the fit LeBron with Carmelo.
I think you have to move Love.
Could be interesting. Yeah, you would then have to move Love and get
some. Or Thompson.
Yeah.
Or Thompson, you know, if you want to put Love at center and you want to roll with, you know, just hypothetically, if this trade happens, you know, they send out Love and Kyrie, they come back with Eric Bledsoe, maybe like a Courtney Lee, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and a Tristan Thompson or a Kevin Love at center. You know, it definitely would be an intriguing lineup to throw out there. You know, like I mentioned to you before off the pod is, you know, Carmelo is kind of a guy that I feel like is being underrated in the sense that everybody's just trashing him. The only people who are valuing him is Knicks fans because he's never played with a great point guard. You know, probably the best point guard he's ever played with passing-wise is like a 38-year-old Jason Kidd. So, I mean, playing with LeBron would help him a ton. Playing as a second option would help him a ton as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I think he's always an amazing player, but his skill set doesn't lend to being the best player, right? So I think him as a number two or number three in that range, you know, he sits out there in the mid-range. LeBron goes to the bucket, kicks it to him. You know, he's hitting that shot 80% of the time. I think that would be good.
Exactly, and he kind of fills in the sense that, you know, not saying, you know, Carmelo obviously has never been to the finals or hit big shots in the conference finals or anything like that, but bringing him in, he kind of gives you an ISO player to close out games a little bit like Kyrie would. Then you bring in Eric Bledsoe, he gives you a little bit more toughness at the point guard position. He's obviously not as skilled offensively, but he's a better defensive player than Kyrie is. And then maybe if you get a Courtney Lee or another type of wing type player, it just adds to the depth of your team.
Sure, maybe you get creative, get like a Tony Allen in there. And just, yeah. You know, really pick up some of that defensive slack that Carmelo might not help you with.
I think that's an issue, too, is getting a little bit younger and faster for the Cavs. They want to compete with the Warriors. Not saying Kyrie doesn't fit that, but he's the only player that really is going to bring back a ton for this team. And if they're able to get better defensively and younger, they're going to have a better shot against the Golden State.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think it's also an opportunity for them to go to LeBron and say, look, we want to keep you beyond next year. What do you want to happen?
Exactly.
Once again, give him the control. And, you know, that gives you just a little bit higher. I think he's out of Cleveland personally. But if you have any shot of bringing him back, I think that might be an angle that could help you even further. He would, you know, continue to get to pick kind of what that roster looks like.
I agree with you. I think you have, you know, LeBron's obviously the best player in the NBA, and you have to do everything you can to try to bring him back, and you ask him what he wants to do and what's going to make him more likely to stay. You're obviously not going to get a guarantee, but it, whatever improves your chances is going to help you.
So what's the last thing? We look at the Heat. I mean,
Pat Riley.
Yeah. And I mean, what do they give up? Maybe Goran Dragic. You know, I think the money would work.
Winslow
would work pretty close there. Yeah. But I mean, again, the Heat, they didn't finish with a great record, but you look at them in the last couple months, month of the season, they were among the best teams in basketball with like incredible chemistry. So they clearly have something building there. Are they going to be willing? But we know Pat Riley's never been scared of
making
a huge move, you know. So another interesting destination.
A Kyrie and Hassan Whiteside pairing, you know, definitely intriguing stuff, because Miami does a great job of always being in the market for big players, even if they have no cap or no trade assets. It just seems like they're always a destination.
Yeah, well, I mean, we see how important just a skilled and ballsy GM can be. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, with so many teams around the league having front offices that are questionable, you know, going to somewhere with Pat Riley, you know, he's going to get stuff done. He's going to try to make his team win. But you mentioned this a little bit before, and we kind of talked about this a little bit off air. It's LeBron in 2018. Obviously, he's going to be a free agent. You know, you think he's a lock to leave?
I really do. Because if he's going to stay, why is he messing around? And I mean, the one thing, obviously, is he, you know, he would wait until after next season, sign that huge contract. He can get more money from the Cavaliers, et cetera. But I don't understand. We know that LeBron is – he cares what people think, right? We know that that's kind of his MO. So why is he not saying, I'm going to be here forever, et cetera, and that he's going to move on? And we know his track record of wanting new challenges and et cetera. I think he won his title in Cleveland. I think he knows that unless they trade Kyrie and put a perfect team around him, get some depth, and they really compete this year, I really am leaving town. And I've told you this, and people think I'm crazy, and he's got a no-trade clause, but for to ship him out of town, the haul they could get back between Kyrie and LeBron, and I don't think you're going to win it this year unless you put the perfect pieces around him. And this Kyrie Irving thing kind of bring some new variables to light. But if you got rid of both of them, LeBron, maybe Kyrie stays. You get a huge haul for LeBron. He's got 1 year, but world. And I think you could get a huge amount of draft picks and maybe a couple very capable players in return. Like if LeBron leaves next year, I don't care who you have, you're back in NBA exile for years. So, you know, I think it's a gamble, but I wouldn't. And here's why LeBron might waive his no trade clause. I go back to the point that he really cares about what people think. Does he want to lose another finals again this year?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Like, does that want to be his legacy that he's, you know, that he's batting, what, 300 in finals or something to that degree? So if you trade him to another market here and he's like, oh, not my fault. I was here for a year. I didn't control where I was traded. And then he goes on to become a free agent, which he planned in the first place. And then he doesn't have another loss in Cleveland on his books. So I think that's the one reason. No trade clause.
You could see the situation where maybe, like you said, the finals loss is definitely an issue, is he wants to go to a better situation. The only issue I have is all the good teams that would want LeBron, that would push them to, you know, to the level where they could beat Golden State. They probably don't have enough assets to give back to Cleveland in which they would want. Because obviously, like you mentioned, he's the greatest player in the NBA. You know, how are they going to get the value back? There's only one team that really has a ton of assets and they're really good, and that's your Boston Celtics.
Yes. And, who knows what they'd be willing to do. But I think it obviously is by no means – I'm not saying it's – necessarily the right move, but I think it's something to think about. And I think, you know, with a trade like that, you're never going to get 99 cents on the dollar. But if the front office thinks that he's leaving and they're getting that vibe, and of course he, you know, always plays the cards close to the vest, so we don't know. But again, it's a huge gamble, because if he does want to re-sign, then you know, that's great. But what does he have left?
You could piss him off too. You know, he was planning to resign and you ask him about the trade. He's just like, I thought I, you know, I'm loyal, you know. But if hypothetically, let's just say he stays in Cleveland, he finishes out the season, he's a free agent in 2018. You know, obviously this is a little bit getting ahead of ourselves. But where do you think are possible destinations for him to sign as a free agent?
Well, you know, you gotta look at teams with huge cap space, and everyone would be, you know, trying to make a move towards that. I mean, obviously the first spot you think of is LA, right? I mean, that would be, you know, kind of the biggest market. Another one is the Knicks, if they can get rid of some of their terrible contracts and kind of make some move for him there. I think next season they could have some cash. You know, other teams with big money, with cap room, they can relinquish some cap holds. You got the Bulls, maybe the Nets, Dallas, Philly. You know, who knows? There's been some mentions of Philly.
Yeah, Philly with the Ben Simmons ties, and obviously they have all these young guys. But the only issue I really have with Philly in Los Angeles, as in the Lakers, you know, does this make him that much closer to beating Golden State? You know, like if he really wanted to leave and win, he'd probably end up signing with like the Spurs or somebody like that, where he can kind of push them over the top and make them an elite team and play with another top five player, because I think that's probably what he wants to do to, you know, get past Golden State. Obviously they have Steph Curry and KD and, you know, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. So he needs to be an elite company to even have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think LeBron is to the point of, you know, Kevin Durant, who absolutely got roasted at the ESPYs and was one of my favorite moments in it. And I'm not a big like award show guy, but that monologue from Peyton Manning was like off the hook. And that joke is just like legendary. So I don't think he's quite to that point of like, I need to be on a super team now. I think he has some like, I think there's some level of pride for him. Like, I want to be the man and just need a team to get me close and I could put us over the top. But to your point, yeah, I think you're pretty spot on with that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously it's the storyline we're going to follow all year long. This Kyrie thing, you know, that we're going to follow all year long. And we've seen a ton of star players move this offseason. Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Brooke Lopez, Ricky Rubio, you know, D'Angelo Russell. There's been a ton of guys.
Gordon Hayward.
Well, I was just mentioning the trades.
It's been crazy.
Yeah. You got Paul Millsap, too, on the move. A lot of big names moved this year, and we kind of touched on the Timberwolves, another team that kind of made a huge splash. But there's still a few guys out there, you know, that could definitely add another element to the team. The most talked about guy this past week is Derrick Rose, and he's kind of correlated to this whole Kyrie situation in the sense that, you know, it'd be even more likely they'd sign him if they were to trade Kyrie. He's been tied to the Cavs. He's been tied to the Lakers. There's even been a rumor about the Bulls, but that seems kind of ludicrous. What are your thoughts on D Rose right now? Where do you think he's going to end up landing?
I'd put him 80% at the Cavs right now, but I think like you said, you know, it feels like this Kyrie thing and him are directly correlated at this point right now. So he met.
And it was rumored that the Kyrie, like the news, the Cavs found out earlier this week that they were going to lose Kyrie, that he requested the trade. And earlier this week, it came out that they were looking at Derrick Rose. So it could be even more connected than we think.
Yeah. So he met with like the Lakers earlier this week, a few hours there. And word right away was that went really well. And then we were supposed to find out, I think, like late this week, maybe this weekend, what he was going to do. And now that's been pushed back to be in the next couple of days. So we'll see what happens there. But Kyrie has certainly changed the narrative there. I mean, Derrick Rose, like 18-4 last year with the Knicks, still really good around the basket, but a terrible jump shooter, which I don't know how well with the Cavaliers right now. You know, we know that they need guys that can hit this, particularly the three. I think Derrick Rose has never shot above like 34% from three in his life, like high school, college, pros, anywhere. So yeah, I don't know, you know, that's the greatest fit. If Kyrie goes, they may be relegated to, you know, bringing in D Rose there at the point guard. If they can get some more depth on the wings, maybe talk. And I think Derrick Rose might be just good enough to keep the Cavs kind of in the same realm that they are, and then maybe even better with what they bring back from Kyrie.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting stuff. Obviously, without Kyrie, it makes even more sense. Even with Kyrie, you know, obviously he wasn't going to start if Kyrie was still there. He's going to be in a six-man role. If, you know, and he's kind of a nice fit next to LeBron in the sense that Derrick Rose is definitely not a pass-first point guard. you know, he's not going to make all of his teammates better. He's, you know, at the best when he's attacking the rim, like you mentioned. He's not a great shooter either. I think he graded out as one of the worst shooters in the league last year.
Yeah.
On open shots. But, you know, with LeBron, you know, personally, I would rather have him come off the bench in like a six-man role, get him like high energy, come and play better defense. You know, he can attack the rim. He's not going to hit jump shots. He might occasionally, but LeBron's going to get the best out of him. You know, I think Derek, you know, Rose seems like kind of like a guy who wants to win. He kind of cares about his legacy. Yes. So I think this, you know, I'm sure he's concerned about it. You know, people have mentioned this in the past. You know, is Derek Rose a Hall of Fame player? Right now, he's definitely not, I think. But, you know, if he's able to get maybe a championship or two under his belt, it would definitely help his cause.
He's young, man. He's 28, you know. I mean, he had the two bit massive injuries. And, you know, early.
And people forget 2011 MVP. You know?
Right. I mean, that's the only time he's made the All-NBA team. But, like, he was one of – I mean, coming out of Memphis, and when he came into the pros, it was just like who is this guy? Like, the athleticism, and he was so fun to watch. One of those guys that just jumped off your screen and blur quickness. And he is, like – it feels like he's 35, right? Like, we've just – everyone has been so tied to his career and the off-the-court stuff, like – he's a great guy. He pays for, you know, gang victims, funerals, you know, people that are caught in the crossfire in Chicago. We know the gun issues there. And, you know, he's paid for multiple funerals for those people. And then there's, you know, the rape stuff. And he was cleared in civil court last year and made some terrible, terrible statements about that. So there's the off the court stuff. We've always been so in tune. And, you know, he took off from the Knicks. And
I'm
out. Like, I don't know where I am. Like, so there's been so many things. It just feels like, you know, he's compacted so many things between injuries, trades, different teams, off the court stuff within his, you know, whatever, 7-8 years in the league, that it is, it feels like he's older, but again, he's only 28. And I think that's a great point that, like, Cleveland with LeBron, you're automatically going to be pushed to do your best. And I think he is a guy that will thrive there. For sure.
And I think he's a guy that's always respected LeBron a lot, especially earlier in his career. Like you mentioned, he was one of the greatest players, you know, one of the best players in the league. And he was exciting to watch. And he kind of went head to head with LeBron a little bit. And, you know, being able to work with him is going to bring him out the best in his game. If Derrick Rose still has some juice left in the tank, if he can still get to a higher level, it's probably going to happen in Cleveland with the best player in the league.
Yeah, so I see Cleveland. Like you said, I think the Bulls are out, so that leaves. I mean, you know, I was hoping Calderon would land that starting spot. You know,
but it'd be good for the Celtics.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, it seems more likely than not. Even if Kyrie stays, I think they get Rose, get creative, maybe can bring Rose in, and I think you get him for, you know, we talked about the dollar. I think this is a guy that's kind of low risk, high reward for the Cavs to bring in. So I see that as the spot.
You know, they're bringing him at the minimum. You know, this is a guy who earlier in the middle of the season thought he was going to get the max. He's going to take the 1-year deal with the Cavs and kind of show himself as a contract year. It makes a lot of sense. Before we get off the Cavs topic, I have a question. You know, how do you feel as a Celtics fan seeing this dysfunction in Cleveland? Does this make you feel better about your chance of getting to the finals?
Oh, of course. Every second of it. You know, and sometimes it's hard to see the forest from the trees, right? So you got to kind of step back, be a little bit of objective. And you hear national media and even, you know, in Boston, which isn't forgiving media by any means, but Celtics still have no chance. And, I mean, they really didn't have a chance in that series last year. It was certainly fun to watch at times, but 40 at home, you can't really say you have a chance in that series. I think with the additions they've made and, you know, another year of chemistry with Al Horford, the rookies, which I think you're going to look back in a few years and be like, they made some serious moves this season. I think Tatum is the real deal. And some other guy, you know, Zizek coming over, I think is going to be huge for them underneath. The signings with the front court, of course, with the guys out of Detroit, trade and signing. I think, you know, another year with Horford. I think they're going to be better than they were. Avery Bradley, of course, is a huge it's to me one of the most underrated players in the league. Just a lockdown defender. He came out of Texas and he offense, and he is now, you know, a plus offensive player in the NBA.
Yeah, and not to mention Avery Bradley is probably one of the best teammates in the NBA. I mean, I won't forget you know, how he treated Isaiah Thomas. Obviously they're close, but when he lost his sister, he was great, and he just seems like a guy that you want to have around your team.
He is the epitome of hard work, team leader, all that kind of stuff, a guy who leads by example. And I think that's going to be a huge miss. But I think, you know, I think unless the Cavs can get some more depth, I think the Celtics can compete with them in the Eastern Conference Finals this year, unless, you know, they somehow get ousted by the Wizards, as I really see as the only other. I don't think the Raptors are a factor. And, you know, a lot of people talking about Philly, they're not going to be there yet.
Milwaukee's an interesting team to keep an eye on.
They are. I think they're
probably a year or two away,
a couple years away. But, yeah. I mean, obviously incredible talent. Incredible talent. And they're very, very fun to watch. A team that on TV nearly as much as they should be. I think they're, you know, extremely fun to watch. And, again, another team I think that are a couple years away.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see this, how the Celtics would be happy about this. And not to mention, I mean, right now, it's tough to see because we don't know what's going to happen with the Cavs roster or what's going to happen with their depth. I'd probably still have the Cavs above them, but the Celtics will definitely make it a more interesting series this year. You know, they're not going to be getting blown out by 40 points. It's going to be close games. It's probably going to go 6 or 7 games, you know, unless the Cavs are able to make some great moves. The one thing for the Celtics, too, is they have some young guys that can make another jump. Jaylen Brown, you mentioned Tatum, you know.
Jaylen, yep.
So, I mean, also there's, you know, the event that, you know, has been mentioned all offseason is the Celtics are going to keep their eye on star players around the league. They have the assets to trade for an Anthony Davis or a Marcus Gasol if they become available. And that's been something I think Chris Mannix has really touched on is, you know, the Celtics could make another big-time move this year and add a superstar player.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, last year they held off on that, which I think ended up obviously to be a really smart move. They kind of saw what was coming there. And that's, yeah, absolutely. You know, Chris Mannix is on top of everything here in Boston. And I think, you know, that could be a huge factor. Of course, you know, the unibrow is the guy that everyone kind of really wants to come to Boston. But, you know, who knows what happens there. You know?
Yeah, that's a tough one to come by. I mean, I could maybe see the Marc Gasol thing a little bit more likely in the sense that, you know, Memphis isn't in a playoff hunt or they're hanging around the bottom. They have a lot of money tied up. They're not going to be better than Houston. They're not going to be better than Golden State. They're not going to be better than the Spurs, you know. So maybe they're just like, you know, let's get assets, kind of retool this team real quick, and maybe you get Marc Gasol. I don't know.
I like Gasol. I have mixed feelings on him. I think he's, you know, a very capable three-point shooter, a big guy underneath. His, you know, lower body injuries with a guy that big really concern you. You look at how much he's played over the past 4 years. It's, you know, subpar, but he might be a guy that puts him over the top for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, we mentioned it a million times in this podcast, the Celtics have the assets to trade it for about anybody in the NBA. So, you know, they're going to call as soon as somebody's available. But talking about guys that are available, we mentioned Derrick Rose. There's a few bigs that are still available that are pretty good players. You know, you got a Jermichael Green, a Nerlens Noel, a Mason Plumlee. Noel's likely to stay in Dallas. Obviously, they haven't come to an agreement on a contract. He's not really happy with the offers, but I think he's a lock to stay. I know we touched on Jermichael Green and Mason Plumlee on previous pods. Do you see these guys leaving either their teams, Jermichael Green with Memphis or Mason Plumlee with Denver, both restricted free agents?
So Noel, to me, is a really interesting situation because I think he's the ultimate, like, system he is really brings out his talents, or he can be totally just watered down and not used properly. So his agent Happy Walters has been pretty vocal in like, what are the Mavs doing? Like, they're not giving the offer that they should. But the Mavericks, you know, have a ton of leverage, you know, given that he's a restricted free agent. And, you know, as kind of the period goes on, you really, you know, teams being aggressive building teams that want to go after these restricted free agents. So for these late signers, there's not a lot of leverage. So landing spots for him at this point, you know, so.
Yeah, there's not much cap to go around at all right now.
Yeah, so the Mavs are kind of smart and biding their time. And I think you're right, he probably lands back there just kind of out of attrition, you know, just because there's really, really no other choice. I think it's kind of a similar story for Jermichael Green in Memphis. You know, again, we'll see what happens for him. He's a pretty underrated player. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I like him. I thought Nets might try to take a swing at him with, you know, obviously they're willing to kind of dive at restricted free agents. And
like to do that, yeah.
Yeah, so they are a team that would have the money to throw at Jermichael Green. I mentioned before that Sean Marks has some ties to him. They could be waiting on it, you know, see what happened with that. Mason Plumlee kind of is a guy that just got, we talked about in the last pile a little bit, kind of screwed by the trade last year. One more guy that we didn't mention, though, Shabazz Muhammad. He was a restricted free agent, now unrestricted, you know, a shooting guard slash small forward. Not a great three-point shooter, but he can score the basketball.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, who knows what the T-Wolves are going to do there.
I don't think they have the cap to bring him back. So he's almost
– yeah, yeah, exactly.
So he's pretty much a lock to go somewhere. It's just interesting to see. He's in – like you mentioned on the same thing with Noel is, you know, these players don't have leverage anymore. They're kind of just waiting out and hoping to get a good offer. But, you know, as the days progress, just less and less cap available.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate gamble, you know. You keep waiting, you're waiting for something better. Do you try and hook up and get what you can right now? And you know, that can really push on pretty much into training camp. So we'll see.
Exactly. So, I mean, wouldn't be surprised if these guys, you know, they probably want to get a deal done before August, but it wouldn't be surprising if you still see them as free agents by then.
Sure, sure.
So we had one other signing this week that I guess was somewhat relevant. Rajon Rondo signed with New Orleans Pelicans. You know, they're going to pair him with Jrue Holiday in the backcourt and start them both. What do you think about this Pelicans team? Like, do you think Rondo is going to help them make a playoff team? Or, you know, are you high on the Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins combo down low, or too big isn't going to work?
This seems like the team where, like, you're, like, six Red Bulls deep. It's like, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're on 2K, and you're like, that guy, like, has a pretty high rating. Like, I'll bring him in. And before you know it, you got three point guards and, like, three power forwards and, like, no shooting. And I mean, Anthony Davis is all world. To me, he's obviously to everyone with a brain. Cousins, I just don't think they're a good fit. They're just not. Cousins is a nightmare. We'll see what happens there. I think Cousins is a big reason Rondo came in. You know, they played in Sacramento a couple of years. Rondo had a good season there. Rondo was really, you know, fantastic. A flashback of himself last year with the Bulls in the playoffs before he got hurt. Again, that self, like they were up on the Celtics. They were dominating that series.
Yeah, especially because of Rondo too. Yeah,
he was the difference. I mean,
exactly. You could tell as soon as he came out of that series, it just wasn't the same. And you know, I think even Brad Stevens mentioned how Rondo was just so dominant in the sense that not only was he playmaking, hitting his shots, but defensively he was studying so much film, he was breaking up all the Celtics plays. You know, he was taking away their first and second option.
Yeah, well, it's a few things with him. He's got those Gumby arms.
Yep.
He's got massive hands, and he does. He studies. He's got great footwork. He's very active. He loves to play defense. And on offense, it's the pace of play. He knows when to dribble quick to the free throw line, hold up, spin in the circle to the block. He knows when to, you know, to be out and call for the pick and roll on top. Like, he's very smart that way. You know, his major problem, obviously, is, you know, he's Ricky Rubio stratosphere shooting-wise, basically. So I wouldn't go that far, but he obviously not a shooter. So we've heard Alvin Gentry, the coach, say they're both gonna start. So we'll probably see, you know, Rondo at the one and then off the two kind of play more that wing role, which, you know, I think Etuan Moore is probably their best wing right now. So Holiday is kind of the better, more versatile player, and, you know, and defender out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't see it working, but I don't see them being incredibly competitive anyway. So I think it's, you bring these guys in, see what works, maybe move some guys and continue to kind of, I think, is their plan basically.
You think they make the playoffs in the West, or they just miss it?
It's tough. I mean, you got a lot of teams that are better in the West. I think Portland had a down year. I think they're going to be much better. We talk about the T-Wolves. Denver got better. The Suns will be right there. The Clippers are obviously dropping a bit. Golden State probably makes the playoffs.
I think Golden State will make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They may make it by March or February.
yeah, the 8th seed. So I think – I think the Pelicans, I think it's going to come down to, you know, I don't think there was enough time to really judge Cousins and Anthony. Anthony Davis, I think give them a little more time. I don't think it's a great fit. I don't, you know, Cousins is like just this enigma. He's just an amazing guy off the floor from all accounts. You hear the community, like top tier great in the community among NBA players. And then he gets between the lines and he's just, a psychopath, and it really affects his game, and it it affects the team, you know.
Yeah, it's negative emotion definitely hurts the team, and bad body language. I think hopefully Anthony Davis, you know, being a friend of his, is able to kind of help calm him down and kind of be the yin to his yang.
I think that's the variable. I think if him and Rondo can come in and kind of get him to get it together, you know, every year, hopefully you're getting a little more mature, learning a bit more. I think that's going to be the variable with them making the playoffs.
For me, I think a variable, like you mentioned a little bit, is the shooting. You know, who's going to step up as a shooter? You know, obviously we know Rondo can't shoot, and I think it's going to be important for Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins to both hit the three ball consistently. You know, obviously both guys can't camp in the paint. So they're going to be able to – they need to spread the floor if they're going to want to play both of them. They're going to need someone to step up at that three spot and hit the three at a high rate too.
They almost,
there's going to be plenty of open shots.
Yeah, there's almost – they're almost like a reverse, like, intrinsic team, right? Their bigs are outside. Their guards play better inside.
Yeah.
So it is – I mean, it can create some matchup nightmares for most teams. Once you get to the playoffs, I think they get shut down if they get there. But if they can, on a night-to-night basis, play hard, get the most out of DeMarcus Cousins – they could certainly be there.
Yeah, it definitely is going to be a lot on that dynamic duo of Davis and Cousins, because, you know, no team in the league probably has two bigs that's able to defend both those guys.
Exactly. Right.
So, I mean, it's going to be a lot on Alvin Gentry, see if he can get it going. A lot was expected of him coming to New Orleans, especially when they fired Monty Williams, which was kind of a surprise. So this is a big year for him, and he has talent. So if they don't make the playoffs, I think he could be on the hot seat.
Sure.
But that wraps it up for today. You know, hopefully we get some more hot news, like some Kyrie Irving, somebody else requests a trade, or maybe he's moved. But Jesse, great having you on. Great show. And as always, thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime. Glad to talk to everybody. OTG.